Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. So it's Wednesday night. Just in case you'd forgotten. Oh my God. the new frame has hit today. The Republican frame in explanation of, well, what's the word we're after? Treason? Impeachable offense? And I've got a little sound for you this evening. The Republican blast fax and blast email and just blast it all is alive and well in America today. It went all the way around this once great nation. The new frame, the new way of looking at unwarranted spying on Americans. And of course, the gorgeousness of it is that, you know, since it's coming from a Republican, what is it? One, two, three. A lie! It's a lie. What they're doing is lying. But, you know, more than anything else, it's also Wednesday night here, and you know what that means. It's the prayer meeting edition.
Every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club. We are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Absolutely the truth. It's prayer meeting night here at Head On, and I'm glad to have you here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, as our pal Stephen in England once named it. Before we go into the frame and into the filthy lying that is just another day in Repiglu world, let's go somewhere else. Do you remember Rigoberto Alpizar? Gunned down by air marshals a couple of weeks ago? You remember him, don't you? Costa Rican man who was a naturalized U.S. citizen. Had not taken his meds, got on the plane, had a panic attack. And was gunned down, shot in the back by air marshals. Yeah, that Rigoberto Alpizar. Well, here's the other side of that coin. Rigoberto Alpizar was, of course, not quite as white as most air marshals might have liked for him to be. You know how it is. They all look alike. Right? Well, this is the other side of that coin. Are you familiar with the Osteens? They're a very pretty, very white couple who run the largest mega church in America. Down Texas way somewhere. This story out of KTRK, ABC 13 in Houston. The Osteens, Joel Osteen and his wife Victoria, run the largest church in the United States. And, well, you know, it's Christmas time and Christmas is this Sunday, so necessarily what the Osteens decided to do was get the hell out of town. Yeah, it's Christmas and there's a war on Christmas and, well, you know, if you run the biggest church in America, you get Christmas off, I guess. I know. But you do. You get Christmas off. And this is the way the report has, taking time off from the high-profile hustle and bustle of running a megachurch, Lakewood Church pastor Joel Osteen and his family boarded Continental Flight 1602 Monday morning at Houston's big airport. They were bound for the slopes in Colorado. Oh, you know, and there was a picture there of Victoria Osteen, a beautiful lady, going to look great in that snow bunny costume. No, Agnes. According to passenger accounts, the Osteens were sitting in first class. Yeah, well, you know, what do you expect the leaders of the largest church in America to take coach? I mean, what do you think all that tithing is for? Soon after the plane's door was closed, the FBI says Victoria Osteen was removed following what Continental would call only a disturbance. It involved a flight attendant. One passenger told Eyewitness News that there was a commotion in the front of the plane. Quote, she violently ran towards the cockpit, scaring everyone around her. Everyone was terrified about what was going on, and a bunch of flight attendants ran up and had to restrain her. She was banging on the door of the cockpit, we asked. Yes! Thank God she wasn't brown. Because we'd be reading about poor, dead Victoria Osteen tonight, wouldn't we? Welcome to Bushmerica. You spell that with three K's. This makes me ill. You know, I didn't want her gunned down. I didn't. Rigoberto Altizar did not deserve to be gunned down either, now did he? Because passenger after passenger after passenger has now said he didn't say a blessed word about having a gun. But that federal air marshal shot him in the back. Shot him in the back. On the other hand, if you're white and blonde and beautiful and stinking rich, you can barrel up to the cockpit door and bang on it till hell won't hold you and try to knock it down and scream bloody murder. And you'll just be restrained, and taken off the aircraft. There won't be any gunplay. After all, you're white and blonde and beautiful and you're Jesus' best friend, and you were just going skiing in Vail. You weren't like Rigoberto Altizar, who was returning from Central America where he'd been helping his brother-in-law fix teeth of poor children. No, you and Jesus, you're just going skiing. The slopes are so lovely this time of year, and who wants to be around those huddled masses on Christmas Day anyway, huh? I don't know. Maybe the Lord moves in mysterious ways. Maybe this is that. Maybe this is a little whisper from the Almighty to the ear of Joel and Victoria Osteen. Hey, idiots. It's Christmas. You're supposed to be in church if you really love me. Oh, wait a minute. You don't. You love the money. You know, but just a gentle warning. No gunplay. Central Americans, people not quite as white and blonde and beautiful as Victoria Osteen, they get gunplay. They get shot in the back. Victoria Osteen just gets a little nudge from God. I just love prayer meeting night. Let's take a break. Ho, ho, ho. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
During the break, my lovely wife and I were speculating. And, you know, right-wing talk radio is just genius at speculation. We learned that through the Clinton years. If you recall, god-awful Ann Coulter, how she would talk about how the Clintons decorated their Christmas tree with condoms. Remember that? Sure. This whole thing with Victoria Osteen, who was so upset. Oh, it had something to do with her luggage, apparently. You know, maybe she forgot that Snow Bunny costume, or, you know, maybe it was the Naughty Bondage Elf costume. I mean, after all, they're fundamentalists, okay? So, you know, anything goes. You know, live girls, dead boys, you know, that kind of thing. Naughty, naughty.
Naughty, naughty. And Christmas is coming up, so be nice.
I don't have to be nice to these people.
I'm just curious about how many mimosas she had before she went banging on that door.
Well, you know, it has a happy ending. The FBI says that she was not removed voluntarily. That's what their spokesman says. She
left on her own. Praise Jesus.
Jesus is ashamed of her.
Well, the FBI says she did not leave voluntarily, and the direct quote from the article, though agents are not investigating, they will review the incident as the Osteens enjoy their Colorado vacation.
Wonder how their parishioners feel about this.
You know, I know that there are, and I've railed against ministers and so forth, and I stand by what I've said, but I do know that there are some ministers who will be spending Christmas Eve, you know, in soup kitchens, among the poor, the downtrodden, the people who, well, you know, the same gang that Jesus ran around with. But the Osteens, no, they need to minister to those filthy rich heathens in Vail. Oh, my God. In a snow bunny suit. That, well, you know, after you've gone shopping at Needless Markup and spent all that money, it's a shame to leave it sitting at home when you could be, when you know, sitting by the fire in the lodge at Aspen or Vail or whatever. And just, you know, yes, I'm Victoria Osteen and I'm beautiful. The FBI says that, you know, it'll look into it. My God, if her name had been Victoria Jamal instead of Victoria Osteen, they wouldn't be looking into it while they spent their holiday in Vail. They would be looking into it while Victoria Jamal spent her Christmas, well, whatever, you get the idea, holiday, you know, in Gitmo. Because after...
I rebuke it in the name of the Lord!
Amen? Praise Jesus. Amen. Amen. Then again, you never know. Maybe Victoria Osteen saw something. You know, something bad, something unchristian.
Gargoyles, psychics, everything's ungodly.
Sorry, I try to maintain my professional composure, but the idea of her up the cabin door to the cockpit.
Gargoyles, psychics, everything's ungodly. Well.
What's happened to this country? And yes, I know that, but this is Wednesday night. This is prayer meeting night, so we have to start it with a prayer meeting story. We will get around to the Senate shenanigans, and just to let you know, as I was coming on the air, the Senate had still not taken up the defense appropriation bill, although they had defeated Anwar. That was a great thing today. That was good. Well, cloture could not be invoked. On the other hand, you know what happened with the supplemental appropriations bill, the budget bill.
He's got that too.
This is just disgusting. A number, you know, speaking of ministers, a number of real ministers. Now, I'm not talking about the religion industry types. Real ministers came out. They were arrested for it. You know, you shall be persecuted in my name's sake. They were arrested for demonstrating in front of the Capitol and calling this thing what it is, and that is immoral and unchristian. But it passed today. It passed the Senate on a 51-50 vote, with the 51st vote being provided by big-time Dick Cheney, flown all the way back from Iraq in a hustle at taxpayers' expense so he could come in and screw the poor.
Didn't they do that, like, really, really late at night? And
No, that was today. That was today, dear.
Okay.
So, it's all out there. Something else rather interesting that crossed the wires as I was ending the show last night. Oh, and by the way, I gotta compliment the comic sensibilities of our listeners. I didn't get to it before the show ended last night, but we ended the show last night with a discussion of, you know, right-wing talking points, and well, the last person we talked about was CNN's Kitty Pilgrim. I said she reminded me of something out of a Kurt Vonnegut novel, but immediately our pal Bruce from Fourth Estate Radio chimed in and said, no, Bob. Sounds like something from some sort of right-wing gun smoke. Thetis, go fetch Doc. Miss Kitty Pilgrim's in trouble. And Agnes and I sat here and and laughed. God, you guys are good. But really, this did cross after the show last night out of today's Washington Post. A federal judge resigned from the court that oversees government surveillance and intelligence cases in protest of President Bush's secret authorization of a domestic spying program. What does that tell you when the judges that are... And, you know, this isn't exactly a fair process. This FISA court, it's a secret court. It's something that goes all the way back to the Court of Star Chamber. Yeah, nobody knows what's going on. It's just the judge and whoever the spook is, and that, you know, they authorize it, and, you know, okay, wiretap away, whatever. But at least there's a process that involves something more than the executive branch. But in this particular case, U.S. District Judge James Robertson, he's one of 11 members of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, sent a letter to Chief Justice Johnny Robs Roberts, you know, that right-wing freak that we allowed onto the court, late Monday, notifying him of his resignation without providing an explanation. Two associates familiar with the decision said yesterday that Robertson privately expressed deep concern that the warrantless surveillance program authorized by the president in 2001 was legally questionable and may have tainted the FISA court's work. That's what I pointed out, that this Fourth Amendment trashing nightmare that Bush has perpetrated is more harmful to our national security than helpful. Of course, you know that. You're liberal, you're progressive, you're decent, you're upstanding, you're moral. You're not a Republican. But it's not about national security. You know that. It's about power. So we got to take our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, your phone calls are welcome. 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. And a program note for you. I know that a lot of talk radio types are not doing a show on Friday. I will. And I'll be here Monday as well. So I hope you can stick around and be with us and enjoy it. I'm thinking about bringing in the Munchkins on Friday evening. It's a small space back here in the studio and a little bit cramped, but I think it'll be fun and full of family values. We'll bring them in and we'll read the Christmas story, or I'll let them sing or something. We'll figure it out between now and then. Jim's with us, been waiting. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Doing good. You?
Fine. A Merry Christmas to you and your happy family, and a Happy New Year to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and yourself as well.
Thank you. A couple of things I wanted to touch on tonight, if I may, please.
Do please.
A little latitude. First is this reconciliation bill, and you probably mentioned that, of course.
Yeah.
That, plutocrat Mr. Cheney, of course, came back and broke the tie, and now they're going to deny people Medicaid.
Oh, it's hateful. We haven't gotten to the details yet, but yeah. You're absolutely right. It's hateful.
I mean, really, it is, because, I mean, according to what you were telling me earlier, that hospitals don't have to take a Medicaid patient, and if they refuse them, they can't be sued.
That's right.
And I'll leave that for you to discuss later on tonight, but I think that's just really one of the most abominable things that they could ever do.
Talk about a war on Christmas.
Really. I mean, you know, I mean, what are they going to do, take Bob, a little tiny Tim's crutch, and hit him over the head with it?
That's about the size of it. You know, I didn't think of it that way. Thank you so much, Jim, because if Tiny Tim showed up at a hospital under this bill that was passed today,
he would be denied treatment.
He would be denied treatment. You know, this wouldn't be Ebenezer Scrooge's fault. No, this is Ebenezer Cheney's.
Exactly. And the second thing is this NPA strike in New York. Now, here's another, and I could use that kind of language, but I'll leave that to the vice president, plutocrat, Mr. Bloomberg.
Right.
Now, he's going to try to pull an injunction tomorrow and force these people to go back to work. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You mentioned this, and I think you said this, that if people were treated fairly, strikes would be unnecessary.
That's absolutely the truth.
And these people in the Metro Transit Authority in New York are not paid a whole lot of money. And I don't think they're asking for a whole lot. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with New York in that area, but it's a high-cost area.
Oh, yes.
I mean, even federal employees in that area have a hard time making it, even with locality pay. And, you know, adjustment for living in there. It's just extremely highly priced. And I hope that these people will learn a lesson that how much they depended on these workers and these people who basically hew the wood and draw the water that makes the, you know.
Makes that city go.
Makes the city go, because basically the city's circulatory system is about to collapse. And, you know, now they're trying to threaten these people with dire consequences and all types of fines and things like that. And God only knows what. I mean, what do they have to do? Are they going to have to go before Gracie Mansion? Are they going to have to be shot like the people did before the Tsar's palace? Is that what it's going to take?
Well, that's never mind the Tsar. That's happened enough times in the United States.
I know that. It's happened in this state. But, I mean, this is regression, is what I'm saying.
Really. Yeah, it is.
I mean, these people are just heartless, and they have no compassion for the working man. And the working man has the right to earn a decent living and have benefits and to have a decent life and carve out for himself a place in this society. And that's what these people are totally against.
Well, they're working stiffs. That's all that they are, and they are being treated accordingly by the administration there in New York City. Now, it's if I understand the entire factual scenario correctly, Jim, they have a no strike clause, and that really does put an onerous burden on them. It's I can't imagine being, you know, to
well,
not.
I can't imagine them having a legal clause like that in their contract, because I mean everybody has the right, except for the federal workforce, to strike, and even, you know, let's face it. I mean, if management is unwilling to exceed the demands of labor, what else does labor have?
Well, and
what
again,
else can they do?
Well, what we're seeing here, Jim, this is very important because We don't live in New York. We may not be thinking about it, but the fact of the matter is, it's the same thing that has gone on in localities all around the country. This isn't the TWU standing up and saying, we want 6 weeks of paid vacation. We want our pay scale to go up. We want more. This isn't any of that. Once again, and that's what you're seeing in recent labor history when strikes and things like that occur. It's not working people standing up and demanding a piece or bigger piece of the pie. It's working people standing up and demanding that the pie that they have not be taken from them.
Well, I remember that scene in Nicholas and Alexandra when the count was asking the czar to please consent and give his people some of the things that they were asking for. And he was saying, Your Majesty, they don't want all this. They just want a taste of it, or decent this, decent that, decent this. And, of course, Nicholas was determined to be the autocrat.
Right.
You see where it got him, in a cellar in Ekaterinburg, with his family being shot. I mean, that's what happens when management refuses to listen to labor, because there's a hell of a lot more of workers than there are people in management.
Yeah, and they're manifestly more easy to shoot, unfortunately. God, I hope
it
can't possibly come to something like that.
I'll show you the times, and I'll point to you the lessons of history.
Well, I keep coming back, and there's a nationwide, a worldwide audience listening to this program now, and when I can tell people a little bit about our lives here in West Virginia, I feel better about it. This is another Christmas for the UMWA miners who were thrown out of their jobs down at Cannleton and had their literally had portions of their lives stolen from them by a bankruptcy judge who was in cahoots with Massey Energy. Well, they had their pensions stolen from them. They had their health care stolen from them. They weren't asking for more money. God, no. They just wanted the benefit of their bargain. And a worker in America can't even have that anymore, Jim.
That is indeed absolutely, I don't know what the word regrettable doesn't even touch it, but it's an issue that's going to have to be addressed and it's going to have to be corrected. And
not anytime soon, apparently.
Well, and the final thing is this business about the Bush administration alleging that President Carter,
oh yeah,
and of course President Clinton used wiretapping like that.
Yeah, and it started out at the National Review and Drudge.
It just ain't so.
No, it's not.
And I can tell you what, I just finished this book called The Body of Secrets, Anatomy of the Ultra Society at National Security Agency by James Bamford. It's 878 pages. It's a good read. And in it, it's categorically denied any authority that these presidents, Carter and Clinton, any misuse of the authority on those wiretapping things. It just ain't so.
No, it's not.
It's an outright lie.
Well, what they had to do, and it happened time after time, I think it was last night on Hannity, Rich Lowry from National Review filled in, Britt Hume picked it up, Flush Flimball had it, Drudge had it.
People, you have to be into necrophilia.
Well, but the thing that all of those sleazebags did, Jim, is they left out the operative words. It's just fundamental journalistic, on the part of Britt Hume and Lowry, it's journalistic dishonesty. They cannot make their point without lying. And that tells me even more just how guilty George W. Bush truly is.
I mean, did they even reference this book?
No, not that I'm aware of, no.
This book has been in the public forum for quite some time.
Well,
and it was published quite, and basically, I mean, this man was, he's written another book, and he was with the National Security Administration during these times and had access to this information.
But
what they were doing.
But are you surprised by this? I mean, what is the first fallback position every time the Republicans get caught doing something filthy? It's all Clinton's fault.
Well, they use an example. For example, now these conversations that they're monitoring. I mean, for example, this is what happened in a school, and this is what had the FBI on some mother's doorstep. She was talking about her son on an examination, and she said to a neighbor, "I'm afraid that Johnny really bombed that test." Well, that word "bombed" apparently was voice recognized by one of the supercomputers.
Sure.
And it went out that this woman, who was a regular school mother, you know, probably a soccer mom and everything like that, was probably a raving terrorist, and she had the G-Man on her front doorstep.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, and normally these computers before this new law that Bush had put back in 2001 in a category lied and said he didn't, you know. I mean, I heard the man say that he wasn't going to do this, and he's been doing it for 3 years. I mean,
well, this is.
I mean, in other words, these words would not be caught like this, but they've done a lot of reprogramming on these very fantastic machines.
And the reprogramming has been done by a bunch of right-wing goons, Jim. By comparison, I remember. You know, every so often you get one of these right-wing freaks out there starting a big Donnybrook about some list of books that they don't want children to read. You're familiar with those.
Oh, right? I am, sure. I mean,
I remember probably maybe it was the late 70s, early 80s. I think it was the early 80s because it was during the heinous reign of Dirtbag Reagan that one of these banned book lists came out. And one of the filthy books that these right-wingers wanted banned was a title called Making It in the Kitchen with Mary. And it was filthy, and children could not be allowed to see that dirty, dirty book. Jim, it was a cookbook. They never looked past the title.
Make It in the Kitchen with Mary. Well, I mean, they tried to outlaw Lord of the Rings. They tried to outlaw J.K.
Rowling's Harry Potter stuff.
Harry Potter books and you know, witchcraft, sorcery. I mean, please, don't they have anything better else to do?
Well, you know, it was 2 days ago I had the story about the Homeland Security goon showing up on a kid's doorstep for requesting Mao's Little Red Book for a college term thesis he was writing.
You're kidding.
No. No, I'm not kidding. UMass Dartmouth student. He was writing a class from a professor of political science about fascism and totalitarianism, and he requested a book through interlibrary loan. He requested a copy of Mao's Little Red Book for his class thesis, and Homeland Security showed up on his doorstep for requesting the book.
What did they do to him?
They walked away, but they didn't let him have the book. That tells you something, doesn't it? We got to get out of here, Jim.
Okay.
Take care.
Later.
This is Head On. Let's be happy.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go, let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand, just holding your hand. We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy, cozy are we. We've snuggled close together like two birds of a feather with wings.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes, dishes before they pile up in the sink and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
If I want to go jumping in on the whole thing about that war on Christmas, but Representative,
it's just, it, you know what? I want to jump into it. I'm going to tell you why I want to jump into it.
Okay, go, Bruce.
That's the biggest load of horse crap I've ever seen in my life, and the reason why. And the reason why it's the biggest load of horse crap is because, you know what? I mean, you know, if there was a war on Christmas, we would hear about it year-round. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, everybody, this is John Fox from Fourth Estate Radio here. Speaking of Christmas, join us Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for our special festive FourthEstateRadio.com Christmas edition. We'll wrap up the week's events as usual and have a bit of extra fun. Find out all the details at FourthEstateRadio.com. That's FourthEstateRadio.com.
Thanks for being with us this evening. Agnes and I appreciate it. About 9.5 minutes before the hour, I wanted to share an email with you I got earlier in the day from a listener. Randy writes, I was listening to your show over the internet. I'm living beyond the water's edge, and gratefully so. I heard you mention funding for the VA. In the early 70s, despite a counterculture lifestyle, I chose to support my country by joining the military. While in the military, I served with soldiers returning from Vietnam. A lot of them lost it and were taken away by mental health people. I was left with a deep sense of loss. It was so difficult to see a person who had lost their sense of self. After leaving the military, I entered college and worked as a student at a VA hospital for nearly 3 years. Now, I wanted to serve my fellow veteran. The staff at the hospital were caring professionals doing their best with limited resources. However, at that time, not only were vets struggling with getting services for Agent Orange complications, but female vets, many nurses, mainly nurses, were struggling to receive basic services. I worked in a chronic pain unit watching torsos detox off of years on morphine. I saw men of imposing stature curled up in the corner of a room crying and apologizing to the people they killed. It almost seems obscene to debate the money to provide services to these people. Well, my point is, as long as soldiers give Americans an opportunity to wave the flag, they're called heroes. But when they return home broken and require tax dollars, no one waves the flag, because now they are, in the jargon of the right, whining victims. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Randy. I really appreciate your thoughts. And the reason I shared that with you, Dear Leader made a little trip this morning. And I apologize. I don't have the sound from this. I looked all over for this. and for the life of me couldn't find it. Maybe it was a failing on my part, but Dear Leader and Pickles made a trip to Walter Reed Army Medical Center today. The National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda. And bumbled and stumbled his way through the speech, you know. Apparently, if he has to work from notes and not directly from a teleprompter, he's just screwed. But if you go to whitehouse.gov, you can find the transcript of the remarks. I'm sure this, you know, this is cleaned up, and this is what it was, you know, this is what was actually written for him to say, not what he bumbled his way through. But there was a paragraph that just leapt off the page at me, and I showed it to Agnes, and she gave one of those little horrified squawks. Squawk, dear. Here, let me turn squawk.
What the?
Yeah, one of those. This is the one. If you're lucky, you'll probably hear her do it again. We're serving in an amazing time. I say we're serving because, now bear in mind, he's delivering this speech, if you can call it that. He's delivering this to people who have been shot up, maimed, wounded, damn near killed in his war. You know, he's delivering this to people with stumps where legs used to be. Delivering this to people who are trying to get used to their new prosthetic limbs. Or just coming to terms with the fact that they won't have them anymore. Delivering this speech to people whose minds are shattered, whose bodies have been affected by, you know, depleted uranium. Delivering this to people, for all I know, who are suffering from what we talked about last night. Cutaneous leishmaniasis. We're serving in an amazing time. I say we're serving because we're serving together. It is a time when this nation of ours is facing unbelievable challenges. There is an enemy that still lurks that wants to bring harm to the American people, and we've got to do everything in our power to protect the American people. That is our solemn duty. He said duty. There is a fantastic opportunity as we defeat this enemy to lay the foundation for peace for generations to come. Yeah, same crap, different day. But that line, we're serving in an amazing time. I say we're serving because we're serving together. Bug spray. Oh, God. Help. I'm not going to go off on a screaming fit. I'm absolutely not going to do it. But can you imagine looking at a shattered human being and saying, "Hey, buddy, you and me, we're serving together. Where's your leg?" Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the cold-hearted, cruel callousness of comparing what he does, you know, getting the footy pajamas on, going to bed, being in bed at 9 o'clock every night, waking up, having his every whim answered to, having people walk around him as though he were some sort of emperor, screaming at people who disagree with him. You know, all of this has been documented. Sending people to their death, ordering the deaths of 100,000-plus civilians in Iraq, being responsible for the deaths of over 2,000 Americans in uniform. And he has the nerve to stand there and look at shattered people and say, "I say we, because we're serving together, you and me." They didn't do anything together with that man. Those poor, shattered individuals were like something out of the charge of the Light Brigade. Theirs was not to question why. Theirs was but to do and die. And he did, and they did, and oh, God. Let's take a break.
That he always thought he knew. the things that he always wanted to do. Collecting each thing, reflecting his word. But now he pondered how he had wandered the circle.
Crime Dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a fight on a crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Thank you. It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Thought you might like that little Christmas interlude. Ah, who am I kidding? That's the top of the hour break. This is Head On, I'm Bob. And how do you reach the program? It's easy. Downright simple. 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Or the other means, straight up long distance, 304-658-3333. Email Bob at headonradio.com. Or Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, at headonradio.com. She got an email earlier today from some creeper wingnut calling her a heifer. I guess that makes her the abominable heifer, since she was an abomination a week before last or so. Agnes the Abominable Heifer. It's the boy, it's the rapture. Wanted to share a little, after mentioning Dear Leaders, if you can call it a speech, at Bethesda Naval Medical Center today, and his whole, I say we're serving because we're serving together. It's only fair and fitting to share, you know, this is a couple of days old, but it's only fitting to share this with you. An open letter to wealthy patriots from a Gold Star mother. This is from Military Families Speak Out. George Bush will be speaking about the war at the World Affairs Council in Philadelphia on Monday. This was a few days back. Tickets for the event are sold out, however. The luncheon tickets that are closest to Mr. Bush were sold for $10,000. I'd like to be at a table close enough to Mr. Bush so that he could meet with me. I was one of the Gold Star mothers who camped on the roadside ditch in Crawford, Texas, waiting to meet with George Bush. I watched him roll past me on his way to a local fundraiser. He never stopped to talk to the Gold Star mothers. On Monday, he'll be in Philadelphia. This is old news. Where I live and my fallen son, Sergeant Sherwood Baker, grew up, I will be outside of the hotel where he was speaking, hoping to ask again for what noble cause did my son die. I'd like to be inside. She was trying to raise enough money to get a ticket. This, you see, and it's past. I don't know if she got inside or not. I mean, come on. She didn't have a prayer of getting inside. But, this is what the mothers of fallen veterans, of fallen soldiers, this is what they're reduced to. Begging for someone to pony up enough cash to buy access to the President of the United States, or is the right wing, Commander-in-Chief. Oh, God. That's just, breaks my heart.
Please go by their website.
Military Family, it's Military Family Speak Out, yeah. MFSO.org. It's, the least you can do. Go by, send them a good word. If you can give them some form of support, anything from a prayer to a shout-out to God knows they need money, do that. It's the right thing to do. Let's go to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I wanted to talk about the transit strike.
Yeah.
You know, if you read the paper today, the demands that the transit workers are asking would cost the city approximately $20 million.
Yeah.
You know, $20 million is in New York City.
Chump change?
Yeah, pocket change, whatever, you know. And what's interesting is, you know, if the city is in such dire straits that they can't afford to, keep these people's benefits and pensions where they are,
Right.
Less than a month ago, every politician in New York City showed up for the groundbreaking of, Goldman Sachs
right.
headquarters.
Yeah.
Of which city and state government gave up $2 billion in tax breaks to the richest bank in the world.
That's
$2 billion. That's a whole bunch more zeros than 20 million.
Yeah, lots more.
Right. And, from what I understand and read, the New York or the Metropolitan Transit Authority, MTA, has a $1 billion surplus. So, I would suggest to all these people that are so angry at the transit workers because they can't get to work, why don't they call up Goldman Sachs and ask them to send over one of their executive fleet cars, which I'm sure they have many,
yeah.
and tell them to take them to work. It's absolutely, the mayor of New York City is a billionaire.
Yeah.
A billionaire. Okay.
Right.
And these people are all upset at the transit workers.
Yeah, they're mad at some guy that drives a train.
Right.
And again, let's make that point clear, Wayne. These guys are asking for their pensions and their benefits to stay where they are.
Exactly.
They're not asking for a bigger piece of the pie. They don't want another dime on the hour.
They just want to stay where they're at. And it's not just the train drivers. It's the people that sweep the subways and keep it clean.
Sure.
And clean all the bathrooms and, just regular, ordinary people.
Working people.
And, exactly. So, who are the greedy ones? On average, from what I'm reading, the average executive at Goldman Sachs received a $500,000 Christmas bonus.
Gah.
Christmas bonus.
Whew. Nice work if you can get it.
And, but the bad guys are the poor labor and workers, working people that are asking to maintain what they already have.
Well, working people are so mean.
My God, this is
tough. Well, and isn't there another issue that one of the bones of contention has to do with what happens to future hires?
I'm not familiar.
I read somewhere, heard somewhere that one of the things the city wants to do is to, and let's call it what it is, and it's union busting.
Well, that's exactly, yeah. I'm not familiar that familiar with exactly what you're talking about there, but that's a normal tactic.
Yeah.
We'll give you what you want now if you agree to screw the workers that come after you.
Right. And thereby you create dissension in the ranks. You fundamentally weaken the very rank and file structure of the union.
Which, that's union busting.
I lit it and that's what it smelled like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. This is totally disgusting. And, they're standing up, the city's losing $1 billion a day.
Really?
You could end that real quick.
It's up to you.
And, it was all over the news yesterday, the mayor walking to work. Give me a break.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, I sat and I wept. I wept. That poor man having to walk to work. We don't have anything approaching real meaningful mass transit in West Virginia.
No, we don't.
I took a trip with the family up to Pittsburgh a couple of summers ago and was just amazed and thrilled with that wonderful trolley line that they've got up there.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's a cool city.
No, but what a blessing. What a blessing it would be to have mass transit.
It would be.
Back in the bad old days when I was driving from here to schlepping from here to Beckley, when gas prices were going up, basically it was costing me to go to work. I mean, I was paying to go to work for all intents and purposes.
Exactly.
And so, why is it that the people that make it possible for New York to go and just don't want to give up more so, maybe another Goldman Sachs can be built, how is it that these are the bad people? I can't get my mind around it. And a question comes to mind. Have either of New York's senators said anything about this?
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything. It's totally disgusting.
For all those people that think Hillary is such a flaming, raving power to the people, dictatorship of the proletariat, commie liberal, I haven't seen anything coming out of her.
No, I haven't either. And where's Schumer?
Yeah.
He's
a son of the boroughs.
That's it. And on top of all this, and I guess they do have a no strike clause in their contract. And
yeah.
Why in the hell anybody would ever sign that is beyond me. I mean, it's, hospitals, you can maybe justify it,
Cops.
But the only thing a labor person has, the only power he has is to withhold their labor. That's the only power they have.
Yeah, because any human being on planet Earth, Wayne, the only thing they have, they can think they have a car, a house, a swimming pool, whatever, but the only thing anybody has is time.
That's exactly right.
And
when
effort.
When you go to work for somebody, you are agreeing to sell time from your life to that person, to that corporation or whatever.
Yeah, the heck with the diamonds and the yachts and whatever. Time is the most valuable thing any one of us has, and to see somebody like Michael Bloomberg up there calling them thugs because they think that their lives have meaning and lives have value, there's nothing more offensive than that.
Right. Who's the thug? The people, the mayor and the governor who agreed to $20 billion of tax cuts to the richest bank in the world? Or some guy that sweeps under the seats at the subway station.
Cleans the toilets.
Right. And then on top of, talk about union busing, what are they doing? They are fining the union $1 million a day.
Yeah.
Now, how many days do you think that's going to last?
Oh, they'll be broke pretty quick.
Yeah, I would say so.
You think about things, and I just, as we were talking about this, Wayne, I had this mental image hit me. How much do you reckon Michael Bloomberg would want per hour if somebody sent him to clean a toilet in a New York subway?
I would say that he'd be put in jail before he did that. my gosh, He doesn't even know what a toilet brush looks like.
Oh, my God. You handed him a toilet brush and a bucket and said, go clean that. No, not for less than $150,000 an hour.
Exactly.
Because he's dignified. He's upstanding.
Yeah. It's disgusting what they're doing to these people, and it's disgusting how they turn this around that it's the poor working person's fault. Think about that. $20 billion, or $2 billion. $2 billion in tax breaks for the richest bank in the world to build a new palace to themselves.
You know who the only people on earth are that the difference matters between $2 billion and $20 billion?
Who's that?
People who have $200 billion.
Exactly. There you go.
it's like playing the lottery. I know people that won't buy a Powerball ticket. Oh hell, it's only $10 million.
Yeah, right. I buy them all the time, buddy.
20, are you kidding? That's my retirement plan.
I'm buying one. Yeah,
that's my retirement plan, Wayne.
Yes, exactly. Believe me, that's a lot of people's retirement plan, And I just wanted to bring that up.
I appreciate it.
Where are all these politicians that they were glad to be there with Goldman Sachs and have their picture taken?
Well, and the fact of the matter is, I like to say that we're honest enough on this program that we will call BS when we see it and when we hear it. Hillary wants to run for president in 08 like the right wing's telling us. Hillary needs to get out on the picket line with the TWU.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
Because she will darn sure be there scratching at their door wanting their endorsement and their political action money come 2008, won't she?
Yes, she will. And I wonder, I don't know. There's a picture. I don't know. There's a little bitty picture of what I'm looking at. It looks like Hillary might be at the mic at this Goldman Sachs. Groundbreaking. I'm going to go back on the computer.
Not Hillary Clinton. Not Hillary, the member of the Democratic Leadership Council. That couldn't possibly be her at that groundbreaking, could it?
Right. These people. people don't know what leadership is. How can you know?
No,
you know, if we had any leaders, they would take a stand on this damn war.
Yeah, well, but she's busy out there worrying about a flag burning amendment.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm just, I was in a discussion, got accused of being a misogynist for saying that I didn't want Hillary to run for president, that I actually wanted to win.
Oh gosh.
You know, you don't like women. Oh God. Let me ask you though, real quick. Do you know anything about the TWU? I mean, are they AFL-CIO? Are they a subgroup of SEIU? I mean,
I really don't know, but I'll find out. But I would imagine they're part of AFL-CIO.
Or
but,
for heaven,
you
know,
like if they're part of SEIU, they just dropped out. So
Well, I was wondering. I mean, I couldn't imagine them just being a standalone fly-by-night outfit. I figured SEIU or Ask Me, something like that.
How many workers are there?
God, they're in the thousands.
Oh, they got to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't do anything in New York without thousands.
Well, I mean, I'd imagine there's probably more of them than there are cops. And, you know, what are there, 30,000 cops? This just goes to show what a provincial little, you know, hillbilly rube I am. I just don't know.
New York City has more cops than most countries have in their armies, I believe.
Yeah, right.
You know.
But, you know, I was thinking about our chairman. We think well of Howard Dean.
I certainly do.
It is time for Democrats to darned well act like Democrats behind working people on this.
And, you know, when Howard Dean gets up and says things and these people run, well, they just ran away, you know, they ran away from my vote. And, you know, you don't back a Howard Dean, then you're not going to get my vote. No, that's just that easy.
Right. I mean, I don't see where it's such hard math.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And like I told you before, you know, I'm going to decide who's a Democrat and who isn't. And, you know, if we end up with 4 out of 10, well, at least we have some place to start. If it's 2 out of 10.
Right.
You know, then we'll build from there. But the rest of them, I don't know, change your affiliation to Republican or call yourself something else, but don't call yourself a Democrat.
Exactly. And our pal Chris down in Alabama just called to let us know that, yeah, TWU is affiliated with the AFL-CIO.
Okay, so then they're not part of SEIU.
Right.
All right.
But, you know, a $1 million a day ain't gonna last long.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
And the sad thing is, there's a bunch of, you know, high-toned judges out there who, and you know how it is with a judge. They'll always side with the money.
Right.
Because,
and, you know, think about that, if they're losing $1 billion a day, $20 million to end the thing seemed like a pretty good deal to me.
You know, you couldn't do that good on a used car lot.
No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. So.
Well, mercy. Well, I appreciate all the info, man.
All right, brother.
Take care.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, later.
Bye.
$20 million to stop losing $2 billion? Psh, bargain.
Seems to me that they're forgetting something that they've been tooting for so long.
They who?
The Republican side. 9/11. You know, Hillary, it takes a village. 9/11, we got to stand together. Hit there in New York City. And now New Yorkers are trying to turn other New Yorkers against each other?
Hey, it's always a winning strategy where Republicans are concerned.
Seems like somebody let the skunk out of the barn.
Well, I don't want any skunks in my barn, dear. But, yeah, whatever. Let's go to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Hello there, Bob.
How you doing?
Well, I'm sure glad Wayne put some numbers. Oh, and speaking of Wayne and speaking of football and all that sort of stuff and sharp optics, hey, Wayne, spiral cut ham, buddy.
No knives required.
That's what us Green Bay fans are dealing with, that and oatmeal. you are so way to hell better off than my cheeseheads are. Good Lord, my dear friend that I've never met, but I think I know.
Well, your cheeseheads and your Titans, brother.
Titans don't matter. There's Johnny come lately, but, you know, Packer fan since birth. But, you know, Titans are okay if they do great. That's fine, too. But,
yeah.
Well, it pales in comparison to the Green Bay Packers football since 1921. It's says on the T-shirt. But anyway, Hillary
spiral cut hand
caused any chance of ever having any support from me, because dear Wayne has brought out the numbers. That settlement would mean $20 million to the city of New York. They've got a huge surplus, $2 billion. And I want people to take just a second and understand, you know, $2 billion, $2 billion, $2 trillion, they sound so much alike. I really think by this point in time, most of us can relate to $1 billion. Well, $2 billion, for those of you that can count the zeros, that's 2,000 million. $2 billion is 2,000 million.
You couldn't begin to spend it.
So if the city of New York gave the richest bank in the world so that, as he said so accurately, one of you did, could build a monument to themselves, and they could all put their cashmere little, you know, muffler around their neck in the wintertime, and then walk across the bridge. Please remember, Mr. Bloomberg has paid in $20, $30 million a pop to get his ass elected.
Yep.
He wrote a check and never missed the dough.
He spent that much money to become mayor.
Exactly. Now, either he is the biggest egomaniac on the planet, or there's an incredible payoff in olive oil and garbage collection. I don't know which. I'm voting for the egomaniac side of it.
Yeah, I land on egomaniac.
If you got the big B's in the bank, you're not going to kind of like turn up shakedown where you're going to hit this guy for, you know, $4,000 on a Friday night after a poker game.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the, you know, coughing up that $20 million, the city of New York is not going to, you know, the Mr. Bloomberg is not going to suddenly be forced down to, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, mustard sandwiches, you know, that kind of thing. No, it's not going to happen.
No, neither is the city of New York, and all of it is pandering to the corporatist, Bush, Bushista, Bushmerica. They crush the working man. Crush the person that cannot fight back. If they are under your foot, squeeze them into pulp. If they're not under your foot, figure out a way to put them there. That's what that's about. He wants.
And these billions and so forth, there was a list out there I ran across one time, and you can, you know, play the game with your calculator on your computer, whatever. I think, what, a billion minutes ago, Jesus was alive? Something like that? A billion seconds ago, I wasn't born? I mean, that's...
reasonable to me.
That's, you know, that's a billion. You know, but 20 million? 20 million bucks falls down the sewer grates in New York every day.
I dare say that, much like the state of California, I dare say that the economy of the New York City, not the state, not the whole works, I dare say that the economy of the New York City metropolitan area is no less than the 15th largest economy in the world, should it be broken away. And that guy's quibbling about 20 million bucks. That'll get lost in the rounding, for you mathematicians. That'll get lost in the rounding of the New York City budget at the end of the year.
One-fifth that amount, roughly, one-fifth that amount today by the Senate was approved to be cut from the Medicaid budget.
Oh.
You know, it's all in the perspective, David.
Indeed it is. But before we go there, I want to go back to history.
Well, keep that thought, okay? I'm gonna put you on hold, and we're gonna do our bottom of the hour break. All right?
I'll be back.
Stand by. All right, let's do take that break. We're a little late for it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. One of the many things that galls me about being on the left is that for some reason the ones with the money seem to think we have to do all the fighting on the cheap. The political machine on the right is well organized, and they make sure the ones doing their fighting are well paid for their efforts. It doesn't matter to them if the assorted writers and radio show hosts lie through their teeth. As long as they push the party line and have a skill for getting on people's nerves, they have a paycheck ready for them. People like myself, like the White Rose Society, like Digby of the Hullabaloo blog, all have to rely on donations from people who are barely getting by to begin with. That's just wrong. The high horses of the left ought to know better. We're fighting their battles for them, and yet, like some working people, they seem to think that there's some sort of nobility in doing it in abject poverty. Having made their own fortunes, they're hanging on to their dough with the tenacity of the stingiest executives, flinging their corporations around the globe searching for the cheapest labor force. Wake up! Your money isn't safe. There's an army of us out here willing to fight, and yet we're being told that it's unseemly to dirty our hands with money. We don't have to lie like they do. We just need to know someone has our backs. If you want to know why the right is winning, it's because their people can dedicate themselves to the task and not have to worry about where their next meal is coming from. When the foot soldiers drop out, the generals will soon follow. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Way to go, Joe. Amen, brother. And from the balcony, amen. So much truth in what he says. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, by the way. Another one of those broke radio producer, radio show guys. My wife is the broke producer. You know, I mean, I've got a soundbite from Flush Flimball for later tonight where he's babbling away. Just telling today's lie about, it's all Clinton's fault defense on this domestic spying crap. You know, from Flush Flimball to O'Reilly to the Sean Hannity job, all of the Savage Wiener, these guys have enough money to burn a wet elephant. Herds of them, sopping wet. And they're well funded by the Cato Institute and the Liberty Lobby and the did you ever see the Saturday Night Live skit where Eddie Murphy pretended he was first he went in as a black guy trying to get a loan, and then he went in as a white guy trying to get a loan. Couldn't get a loan as a black guy, went in as a white guy, and was like, "Wow, would you like to have some free money?" That's left. That's liberal radio versus con artist radio. You know what I'm getting at. It's a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Oh, my frames of reference. The one with Babyface Finster when he busts out of prison and he's masquerading as a little lost orphan, and Bugs finally catches on to him when he peeps through the keyhole and sees the big mother tattoo and sees Babyface Finster shaving. And catches him counting the loot from the latest heist. Finster! How many times do I have to tell you not to play with the dirty money?
That's us. Oh, you're a liberal. Well, you don't get to play with the dirty money.
Jeez. Let's go back to the phones. I've babbled enough. I made David wait. Hey, David, thanks.
Illustration overload, Bob. I lost track.
You had a historical perspective for me.
There were bunnies going by. There were drug addicts going by. There were guys with tattoos that I probably shouldn't really be looking at. Illustration overload, Bob. More than I can handle. Don't do it, Bob. Don't make me go there. Not again tonight, Bob.
Ooh, I do believe I've forgotten my fudge.
I'm glad I don't know what that's about. But let's
same cartoon.
Let's talk about President Kennedy.
Okay.
Can you imagine a man with a ruined body and more exhibited courage than three or four or five good soldiers? Watch the button, Agnes. Damn good soldiers exhibited. Can you imagine that man stooping to go beside the bed of a wounded soldier in a war that he had not fought in, even with his credentials, and say, you and I are serving together? That good Catholic boy would spit on the Pope before he would stand beside a soldier of a war that he had not personally fought in and say that. I swear to you that's the truth. I know it's a fact. And that man, that ugly little worm, W, has no realization of the crime against all ethics that he committed by doing
it. Or crime against honor? Dignity, decency. You know, I like your use of the word worm, David. It works.
It's the most disgusting image you may have ever pulled up, and it is so visual. I can see him crawling up to that soldier. This guy that didn't have the backbone to be able to find a National Guard unit in Alabama, fly some airplanes once a month, is talking to a guy that's lost part of his body in a war that should never be fought, and that worm had the audacity to say,
we're serving together.
Serving together.
Yeah, I like to give people nicknames. I think I'll call you Stumpy.
Yeah, what about them fingers? It's can candy. You know,
and he calls mommy when he gets home. You know, he calls Babs. And I went to the medical center today, and she says, "Son, don't worry me with all those body bags and who died and who got hurt and how many. I don't want to ruin my beautiful mind with that kind of thing."
That or, mommy went to the hospital, had a good day. They'll eat it up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. How about this one, David, from the newspaper today? Figure this one out for me. Corporal Adam R. Fails, 21 years old, Cullman, Alabama. I know where Cullman is.
Oh, I vividly know where Cullman, Alabama is.
He died December 16th in Iraq from a non-hostile gunshot wound in the back of his head while he was sleeping.
I really don't like the sound of that. While he was a non-hostile gunshot wound while he was sleeping.
Yeah. Figure that one out for me.
Brother, Bob, I have no idea.
This is, my take, this is symptomatic. You know, here's the kicker. That dude's family doesn't get a Purple Heart. He was due to come home in January, and he got off in the middle of the night. And it was non-hostile. Now, you know, I don't know. When I, in it reveille, and you go over, and, he's got a bullet hole in the back of his head. Well, Jesus, God, thank heavens it's non-hostile.
Well, he's still dead, and he was still in Iraq, and he was still there because of George W. Bush.
Right.
There are countless, countless, countless stories of soldiers that delivering gasoline to the troops, they have a traffic accident. A road collapses underneath them.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of an explosive device. It wasn't because of anything else other than the horrible condition of the road. That doesn't count. That's just the basic hoops.
And on the death benefit, that family gets stiffed, David. In Bushmerica, that family gets stiffed.
Almost worse yet, if he lives through it and he's maimed for life, well, here's your $18,000 severance pay, exit bonus, whatever. Have a nice life. See ya. Oh, no, VA, no, sorry, I'm on the battlefield. You may go now. Your story no longer interests us. You may go.
Welcome to the Bush administration. Welcome to Bushmerica.
Welcome to Bushmerica. Well, I had to draw that comparison between all of those speeches John Kennedy made, and I'm, you know, as an old guy, I was there watching the TV, listening to the radio, reading the newspaper. I watched those, and he would ask that America do something for their own at that time. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you...
Oh, out of that speech, David, I only shared a little bit of the disgusting part. You're standing there in front of maimed people, and you're saying things like, Laura and I just got back from the Far East, and I sat down at the table with the Prime Minister of Japan, talking about how to keep the peace, talking about how to deal with North Korea, talking about how, and thanking him, by the way, for sending troops to Iraq to help this young democracy develop... That is not what you say when you go talk to the brutalized people. That's not what you say when you're going and talking to you know what I mean.
You don't offer diplomatic small talk to boys that don't have the rest of their life.
Canape?
You don't offer diplomatic small talk to young men who left town thinking they were bulletproof and who may not now have the capability of going to bed with their wife. You don't make diplomatic small talk to those people.
Well, these are delicious lady fingers. Would you like one of them, seeing as how you ain't got a none of your own?
Oh, Bob, it's so cruel and so ugly, and it horrifies me that...
That's them, though. That's not... I mean... He's standing in front of maimed people who fought his war in Iraq, talking to him about his conversations with the Prime Minister of Japan one of my predecessors, Harry Truman, recognized the power of freedom to transform an enemy into an ally. All what's happened. And so Japan adopted a Japanese-style democracy, and in that, democracies don't fight each other.
He might as well be talking to those guys about his mountain bike ride that morning. He's out of touch. He's stupid. He's dishonest.
He's hateful.
He's hateful, and he deserves to be impeached because he said 16 months ago, wiretap, nope, doesn't exist. Got to have a judge for that. We don't do that. We play by the rules. And I'm on tape saying that. Yep, throw that tape away, boys, because I don't want them to be reading. I don't want them to be listening to that or making a transcript of that in a few years. A few months, pardon me. But it's there. It's on tape. And you were exactly right a night or two ago. If they could chase Bill Clinton with $60 million worth of bad investigation over a lie about that act and a stained blue dress and a failed investment, they ought to be getting a rope.
Figuratively speaking.
Yeah, figuratively speaking. Because I figure by now you and I should be saying, what was the catchphrase that was going to drive them crazy on the phone tap routine? What's the thing we always got to say?
Anthrax.
Thank you.
Bomb.
Great band.
Big
great
bomb.
Great band. I met two of the original members. They're from New Jersey. Great guys.
Anthrax.
Fantastic Anthrax.
David, thanks so much.
See you, Bob.
Later. Okay, let's take a break. I need a break. God almighty. Go read this thing. I mean, I'm not going to bore you to death by reading you the whole thing. Whitehouse.gov, it's there. It's on the main page, the link to it. This is disgusting. I mean, policy discussion? Oh, my God. And so, on behalf of a grateful nation, I offer you a laurel and hearty handshake. Because we serve together. Disgusting. I'm Bob Kincaid.
And have studied very much. For that reason, please try to bring me these toys. A toy automobile, a submarine, a football, a bat, roller skates, a scooter, a cannon, a rocket, a bicycle, an atomic laboratory, a machine gun.
My jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Really enough, I want to go jumping in on the whole thing about that war on Christmas. But Representative,
you know what? I want to jump into it. I'm going to tell you why I want to jump into it.
Okay, go, Bruce.
That's the biggest load of horse crap I've ever seen in my life, and the reason why it's the biggest load of horse crap is because, you know what? I mean, you know. If there was a war on Christmas, we would hear about it year-round. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, everybody, this is John Fox from 4th Estate Radio here. Speaking of Christmas, join us Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for our special festive 4thEstateRadio.com Christmas edition. We'll wrap up the week's events as usual and have a bit of extra fun. Find out all the details at 4thEstateRadio.com. That's 4thEstateRadio.com.
You know it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. about 10 minutes before the hour. And Ed has joined us. Let's go to Ed there on line one. Hey, Ed, you're head on. Thanks for joining us.
Well, that's all right, Bob. I listened to the discussion Wayne had and how an outfit, a company or a city or a metropolitan area can turn one worker against the other. And this is just another tactic they used to have, and probably Wayne don't go back far enough to remember, but they had a thing called a yellow dog contract that coal miners used to have to sign, and probably some of the factories too. But they called it a yellow dog contract, and in order to get hired, you had to sign that you would not have one thing to do with the union, would not talk union, and if it was automatic discharge. But the new scheme is like the food store workers have got it right here in Oak Hill, Kroger's and a few of the other ones. When they move up people to full-time, and I got a son that works there at full-time, and the way they do that is these full-time people never see the potential workers that's going to come in and work part-time or for lower wages or for no pension rights, for no vacations or whatever. And that's the scheme of the thing now. They're letting the worker do their job for them. Instead of having yellow dog contracts, they pit one worker against the other before they ever get there. And that's basically, I think, what Wayne was getting at. But I remember yellow dog contracts. I remember the miners talking about them.
Well, Ed, we're going, Jim said it earlier in the program, we're going backwards. You remember about these things. You've talked to people who lived with these things. You've seen it happen. And, you know, these are battles we were supposed to have already won, aren't they?
Yeah, but they find out instead of going head on, and I better watch mention your program, but instead of going head on after them, they have other, it's like the names of these things that's always against a worker that the worker is not even familiar with, like Chamber of Commerce, the Heritage Foundation, the Sisters of this or the Brothers of that, and all of it, like Right to Work.
Yeah.
That's, all that stuff sounds so good, but it's worse than having a rattlesnake next to you for the worker, for the working class.
Well, but you know, the theory behind management in all of these things is that, you know, well, we lose one, we'll pick up another because there's a surplus workforce. I remember during the Clinton administration, we had an economy that was growing so fast that we couldn't hire enough workers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not the problem now, because you know, you hear George Bush out there saying things like, well, we need to have a guest worker program to do those jobs that Americans won't do.
Yeah.
And that is so patently offensive to me, because we are the hardest working people on planet Earth. We got less vacation time than any other industrialized nation on Earth. We've got poorer health care than any other industrialized, civilized nation on Earth. And for him to say, well, you know, there's jobs Americans won't do. No, there's no job an American won't do, Ed, and you know that. I mean, you've done hard work.
Yeah. Well, it's like everything else. I can't remember how far back it goes. But they wanted a schedule 3% unemployment, so the workforce, so they could be selective in who they picked. And if that don't work, then when things go bad, then we'll enact the Davis-Bacon Act like they did down south, or we'll create another labor-free zone, another word for a non-union Caribbean
Yeah.
Island, you know, that
yeah.
That's your labor-free zone. That means no interference. That means no distractions. That means Coca-Cola signs out in front and cardboard huts in the back.
That's right.
So, you know, the people, but Bob, I'm telling you, the worker don't know who the enemy is. He knows things ain't right, but he can't put it together that there's a plot to control him.
Well, and that there's a... There's probably a PhD thesis in why that is. But one of them is that he doesn't have time to find out who the enemy is, Ed. He's got mouths to feed. He's got to make sure that paycheck comes in next week because he's got to make that car payment and that house payment, and he's got to pay the insurance, and he's got to make sure that there's some groceries, and there's a doctor bill that's come in. Yet he's too busy.
Mm-hmm.
He is working too, and she, working too hard to be able to stand up and realize what a horrible screwing is being put over on him. Something on the order of 88% of the American workforce is no longer unionized, and they've bought into this goofy lie that, well, you know, the union's day has gone. There's no need for a union anymore.
The thing of the past. I've heard that, and it makes me want to reach out and pull her labels off her shirt when I, you know, the reason the union is the thing of the past, if it is in fact is because the people dropped the ball. And it still comes back to they don't know the direction which they ought to be going. And I just don't see any end to it. And you look at the scheme on these cutbacks that we're talking about, and one of the things that's involved in it are the grants. And do you know why they don't want grants? We get our people educated. Well, they'll do away with the Republican Party.
And well, an educated person is the worst is the worst enemy of the Republican Party. You're absolutely right, because when a person is educated and a person takes time to look and to see, he can understand that the Republican Party is just it's a fraud. It's a racketeer-influenced, corrupt organization that exists for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is the enrichment of a very small cadre of individuals.
And you look at people like, I call him the weed-eating king in Beckley there. You tell me what the Republicans will do for him or how they've helped him. And I heard him make the statement that Bush had saved him $260-some-odd. I wonder what he thought about the gas prices when he started his lawnmowers up.
Well, there's some people out there that you can hand them $5 while you're picking their pocket for 20, and they'll thank you for the five, Ed.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to get into a long conversation.
Oh, that's all right.
I just wanted to make a point of how the companies are letting the worker do the dirty work themselves.
You're absolutely right.
And there'll be a new scheme after that, because it's like you said, one of them guys with the PhDs or whatever sitting there in a white shirt, and until we start looking at the values that a person has when he runs for office instead of his $300 pinstripe suit, we're not going to do any better.
Well, let's look at the values that he really lives and not the values that he talks.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ed, we got to take the break, but thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later.
Take care. And we'll be back for the final hour. Where'd this one go? This is Head On. I'm Bob.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke,
You may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Maybe I'll sleep real late. Maybe I'll lose some weight. Maybe I'll clear my junk. Maybe I'll just get drunk on apple wine. Me, I'll be just fine.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Here I am. There you are. You heard the phone number. If the Spirit moves you on this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition, the last prayer meeting edition before Christmas, jump right in. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time letting you see the right-wing megaphone in action, okay? Because it in a way, it's a beautiful thing to behold and an amazing thing to behold. Now, it started last night. It started last night with Rich Lowry from the National Review sitting in for Sean Hannity's job. And they started this domino effect of lies. And what it centers on, you know, this is follow the birdie stuff. A report from Drudge, and it all turns on alleged Clinton and Carter administration misdeeds. Now let's start with Rich Lowry from last night.
I'd like to read a statement that the Clinton administration's Deputy Attorney General Jamie Gorelick said in testimony to Congress in 1994. This is what she had to say. The Department of Justice believes, and the case law supports, that the President has inherent authority to conduct warrantless physical searches for foreign intelligence purposes. So, PJ, isn't that exactly the same authority that the Bush administration is asserting in this instance and is prompting so much outrage? So if you're outraged at what Bush has done, do you think the Clinton administration was willing to trample the Constitution as well?
Okay, you got that so far? Good. That is the talking point. That's the meme, or the mem, if you will. So then, it made it to Brit Hume at Fox.
Well, let me read you this Jamie Gorelick quote.
No, that's fluff.
From the Washington Post today.
That thing goes on forever. Of course it does.
Well,
no,
let me
I
read
screwed
you
up.
This Jamie Gorelick quote.
I screwed up something fierce.
Well, let me
stop
read
it.
You this.
Please stop it. That's awful. Anyway, the thing ran through. This is what happens when you get in a hurry. The thing ran through Hannity and Combs, and then it was picked up by Brit Hume, who, you know, in her stentorian voice with his eyebrows hidden, with his eyeballs hidden 6 miles back in their sockets underneath his one eyebrow. Oh, it's a bird. Well, Bill Clinton, blah, blah, blah. You know, it is what it is. Now then it made it to Flush Flimball. Let's see. Dear,
sorry.
Play Pong another time, okay? Now, this is a long cut from Flush. Grit your teeth and bear it. I had to.
Well, let me read you this Jamie Gorelick quote from the Washington Post today. In this quote, now, if you don't understand the context, you are going to assume that she is supporting the president, but she's not. She's supporting McCain. This is an anti-Bush comment.
Huh?
But what follows this is the pièce de résistance. She says in the Washington Post today, the issue
that's
here
French.
Is this. If you're John McCain and you just got Congress to agree to limits on interrogation techniques, why would you think that limits anything if the executive branch can ignore it by asserting its inherent authority?
'Twas Brilligan the slidey toad did Guy and Gimble in the way.
What she's saying is, Bush is a lawbreaker. Bush, he doesn't have to listen to McCain. He doesn't have to listen to President McCain to the media. He can do whatever he wants. He's just gone out and done whatever he wants. Anyway, he's violating all these laws. He's not getting warrants. He's doing whatever he wants. He's power mad. He's out of control. That's what this quote means. So she's sympathetic to McCain. If you're McCain, why would you think that your bill limits anything Bush will do when Bush can ignore it by asserting his inherent authority? Now, let's go back, though. Let's go back. July 14th, 1994,
Jamie
Gorelick, quoted by Byron York in a story today
in the National Review.
National Review Online.
Right.
She said, and this is her testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee on July 14th of 1994. She said, Jamie Gorelick, the Department of Justice believes, and the case law supports, that the President has inherent authority to conduct warrantless physical searches for foreign intelligence purposes, and that the President may, as has been done, delegate this authority to the Attorney General. It's important to understand, senators, that the rules and the methodology for criminal searches are inconsistent with the collection of foreign intelligence and would unduly frustrate the president in carrying out his foreign intelligence responsibilities. So, Jamie Gorelick here is basically saying we have a different set of rules when a Democrat's in the White House. When a Democrat's in the White House, we
You're
can do exactly
right
what George W. Bush did because Bill Clinton did it. But when George W. Bush is in office, we can't let George W. Bush do it because he's a Republican. So here's Gorelick today in the Washington Post. The issue here is this. If you're McCain and you just got Congress to pass your big limits on interrogation techniques.
Enough already. You know, I guess maybe when you're far enough into the junkie spectrum, when you get that first refreshing burst of flavor off your first dose of OxyContin for the day, the rush is kind of speed-like. And energizes you and stuff. So, there's this reference to this National Review Online article, and then Drudge picked it up. So it's gone from National Review Online over to Brit Hume. It's gone from Brit Hume to Flush Flimball. The Drudge Report has it. And it all centers on a little piece of statutory interpretation. And what they did time after time after time, for instance, the Drudge Report. The Drudge Report said, Clinton, February 9th, 1995, quote, the Attorney General is authorized to approve physical searches without a court order. Wow. Wow. That was a frontal assault on the Fourth Amendment, wasn't it? Authorized to approve physical searches without a court. They just folded up the Constitution into a paper airplane and flew it off the roof of the White House. Sorry. You know, Matt Drudge couldn't make it out of the ninth grade journalism class I took. Because, you see, that's what's called a sin of omission. Of course, I don't have to tell you that. You're smart. You're not some damn ditto head.
Yeah, Rush said it. I believe it. That settles it. You know, no.
Here's what Bill Clinton actually signed with the language that Drudge left out. The Attorney General is authorized to approve physical searches without a court order to acquire foreign intelligence information for periods of up to 1 year if the Attorney General makes the certifications required by that section.
What section, Bob?
Oh, well, see, it's too complex for a Republican to read and a little too brutally honest and, frankly, useless, utterly useless in trying to deflect the charge that George Bush should be impeached. What section? That section? What section? Well, the certification required of the Attorney General is that the search will not involve, and this is a quote, the premises, information, material, or property of a United States person. And a United States person means U.S. citizens or anyone inside the United States. Now, I know it sounds like a little bit like a rigmarole. It's easy. Drudge left out of his claim that, well, Bill Clinton did it too. It's Bill Clinton's fault. Bill, you know, George Bush, you know, we all know he's a damn dummy. He couldn't come up with this on his own. He had to look back at what Bill Clinton did. It's what Bill Clinton did. He's just copying off of Bill Clinton. Teacher, George Bush is copying off of Bill Clinton again. You see? If the Attorney General makes the certifications required by that section. And those requirements are, first and foremost, that none of this warrantless seizure, warrantless search, none of this stuff involves, that Fourth Amendment stuff. Persons, newspapers, property and effects of any United States person. Okay? And then Drudge did it again with Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, this is what Drudge says. Jimmy Carter signed executive order on May 23, 1979, quote, Attorney General is authorized to approve electronic surveillance to acquire foreign intelligence information without a court order.
Damn! That's a bombshell. That Drudge, he's the hottest thing since,
Edward R. Murrow. He sure is smart. No, he sure is dishonest. Because, again, he left out something. Now, the executive order says this, 1-101. Pursuant to Section 102A1 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, 50 U.S.C. 1802A, the Attorney General is authorized to approve electronic surveillance to acquire foreign intelligence information without a court order, but only if the Attorney General makes the certifications required by that section. What certifications? Well, let me tell you. The certification required by the Attorney General is a certification, and in essence, a sworn oath by the Attorney General that the surveillance in question will not contain, here we go again, quote, the contents of any communication to which a United States person is a party. In other words, you can't spy on the American people. Oh, I detest, I loathe a daggum lying Republican. Do you see how they operate? Now, for several days now, we've read over the Fourth Amendment. It's simple, it's uncomplicated. There's nothing there to get lost in. And what they did, they started out, Bush did this because of his inherent powers of being like President and Galactic Overlord. And that didn't fly. Well, it's part of his Commander-in-Chief powers. What? Okay, didn't buy that one. It was authorized under the war resolution. Mm-mm, didn't like that one either. Okay, Bill Clinton did it. And Bill Clinton only did it because Jimmy Carter did it. How's that? Got it? And the entire right-wing news machine sprang into action. Dear God in heaven. Now, you know, the few of us that sit around and participate in our little liberal sandbox every night, we know better. We do. But for every one of us, there are probably 10 million Americans who went, well, Mavis, as far as I can see, it looks like Bill Clinton done did it, and what's more, Jimmy Carter did it before him, so how could it, leader couldn't have done nothing wrong after, he wouldn't do nothing Jesus didn't approve of in the first place, now would he? I don't think so, Mavis. It happened millions of times around America today. It happened in doctor's offices. It happened in oil change shops, where the TV in the corner is out of reach and always stays on Fox. It happens every day that way. That's how you get to a point where you can convince people that, you know, things like belonging to unions are bad things. Because when Pravda is the only thing that's out there, and Fox is Pravda, Fox is TASS, Fox is Izvestia. It's state-run media. And when the Kool-Aid guzzling right-wing freaks in doctors' offices and hospitals, I've seen them. My wife has seen them. You know, it'll be the TV's there in the waiting room. It's playing Fox, and there's a sign underneath that says, "Please do not change the channel away from Fox." That's how you get Republican Congresses. That's how you get stolen elections. Oh, it's so simple. And it's so evil. Let's take a break. This is Head On. Oh, Lordy, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, "Reconsider your labor practices." A few months later, I get a letter back saying, "Thanks for being a loyal customer," and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Welcome back. Great choice, Atkins. You're number one in my book, too. So, just one last little example of this kind of Republican hypocrisy.
Well, Bob, the Democrats do it, too. Show me.
This is a quote, and boy, it's potent medicine, too. "There is a concern that the internet could be used to commit crimes
and that advanced encryption could disguise such activity. However, we do not provide the government with phone jacks outside our homes for unlimited wiretaps. Why then should we grant government the Orwellian capability to listen at will and in real time to our communications across the web? The protections of the Fourth Amendment are clear. The right to protection from unlawful searches is an indivisible American value. Under God. 200 years of court decisions have stood in defense of this fundamental right. The state's interest in effective crime fighting should never vitiate the citizens' Bill of Rights. Boy, that's a bunch of liberal claptrap garbage, isn't it? I mean, the nerve. 200 years of court decisions have stood in defense of this fundamental right. The state's interest in effective crime fighting should never vitiate the citizens' Bill of Rights. Oh, you know. Here's a hint. Jesus, is that a calico cat? Oh, tell me it's not a calico cat. Quick, get me the Crisco. I need to anoint myself. Yeah. That's Missouri Senator John Ashcroft in October of 1997. You know, back when the Clinton administration was trying to fight terrorism and get a better handle on internet communications among Al-Qaeda people. There is a concern that the internet could be used to commit crimes, that the advanced encryption could disguise such activity. However, we do not provide the government with phone jacks outside our homes for unlimited wiretaps. Unlimited wiretaps? Senator Ashcroft, buddy, what changed? You telling me that you just didn't feel like you could trust that commie Clinton with that kind of power? Is that it, buddy? But you did trust yourself with it? 'Cause you were there, John, pal. You were there. You were the Attorney General who, under the rules, the executive orders that were promulgated by Clinton and Carter, you were the Attorney General who had to certify that no United States person would be spied on, weren't you? Sure you were. Now, how about it, John? Has anybody in the media caught up with Crisco John to ask him about all of this? His filthy fingerprints are all over it. You know, I tell you, let's take a break. We'll wrap it all up and head home in the final half hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. Games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ad Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. just very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Welcome back, and thanks for hanging around. You sure do make it fun. That quote from John Ashcroft. You know, I don't just make this stuff up. The USinfo.state.gov, and if you search for John Ashcroft's article, "Keep Big Brother's Hands Off the Internet," you will find the quote that I just read to you. And there's a lot of other fun, gaudy, hypocritical crap in it, too, like this. Online communications technology is akin to the Wild West of the 19th century. To best settle this here new frontier, we should unleash American know-how and ingenuity. And Crisco. The government's police state policy on encryption is creating hindrances. Now, see, if I... Well, I'm sure I don't listen to the whole thing. I'm sure it's... My friends, the left wing, is out there calling George Bush the author of a police state. And I offer up for you, for your consideration, again, the same theme I've been working at. How dumb do they think we are? Or, conversely, how stupid are they? They know this crap is in their background. John Ashcroft knew that he had said and written these things when he was sitting there being briefed on this secret spying escapade that started a week or two after 9/11. He knew. Yes, dear?
Well, of course he knew. But he's conveniently gone. I mean, look, Condi Rice...
Really gone? I mean, has anybody even seen that man?
He disappeared.
Is he on his World Eagle Is Sore tour? Or, I don't know.
I think the Calico's got him. But, look, Condi Rice has been covering her rear end. You know, she keeps reiterating about how she's not a lawyer. I think his legal counsel is giving him some really, really bad advice.
Harriet?
Could
no.
be? Could be. I mean, the woman has bags under her eyes. You know, she's not sleeping much.
I know that you could use for steamer trunks.
But
boy, that was catty.
Well, that wasn't catty, and you're not misogynistic. I mean, I know you like women, so
I do too. Like massages.
Don't even worry about it. But you have all these people trying to cover each other's butts because you ever seen a sinking ship? What's the first thing to go?
The rats.
The rats. And the rats are scurrying. I mean, have you heard anything in the news at all about Scooter?
Oh, look, he fell off the radar, and so did, you know,
so did Carl.
Fitzmas and Carl, and
they're gone.
Well, that's because our entire mainstream media, oh my love, has the attention span of a 6-week-old cocker spaniel. They have the attention span of peat moss, for God's sakes. That they can only handle one story at a time. Look how long it took them to get off the missing white chick in Aruba.
Boy,
that sounds mean to it, Christmas.
No, wait a minute. They did a video of their dog and a little tiny one.
Oh, yeah, Miss Beasley's...
Miss Beasley and how the other little fella is so jealous.
Oh, that was the... Yeah, sure it was. But, I mean, the point here is the mainstream media. The point here is the media's unwillingness to actually get with the program and report the news.
Well, and to find the facts.
I mean, where's the video of John Ashcroft standing on the floor of the Senate reading this? The Clinton administration would like the federal government to have the capability to read any international or domestic computer communications. They believed, my dear, they believed that Bill Clinton was the reincarnation of, Joseph Stalin? No, wait, please, just bear me out. Hear me out. And I despise the Republicans. It's the Dr. Zhivago quote again. I'm sorry. Nothing demanded by the party is beneath the dignity of any man. And right now, the party demands that the entire Republican apparatus demean itself and vomit and defecate all over the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution in order to preserve the sorry, miserable, never did anything worthwhile hide of George W. Bush. You know, for every one of these freaks, what's his name, Hoekstra. Congressman Hoekstra, he's the House Intelligence Committee chair. He's from Michigan, and he gave a press conference this morning, and he said, well, all these congressmen and senators who were complaining, all they had to do was go to their leadership. You damn liar! You double damn liar! Because everybody was sworn to super double secret probation silence. That's why Jay Rockefeller was sitting there in the dark in his office with the curtains pulled and two sheets of Senate stationery, handwriting a letter to himself in case he got rubbed out by the criminals in the Bush administration. Oh, well, you know, you could have just asked. No, we couldn't have. We got judges quitting the FISA court. Because their authority has been undermined by the intrusions of the executive branch. You've got all of this. You got Bill Clinton to blame. You got Jimmy Carter to blame. It's all there. But one question remains. And every time someone stands up, and please understand, whether it was done on the watch of a Democrat or a Republican, I believe fervently in the right of the people to be secure in their persons, property, and effects. Papers, persons, property, papers, and effects. Under the Fourth Amendment. I think that thing is abundantly clear. That is a high hurdle that law enforcement has to pass before it can go nosing around and snooping and looking for crap. Okay? I don't want it done by a Republican. I don't want it done by a Democrat. I don't want it done by a Libertarian. I don't want it done by Mr. Jefferson, Mr. Adams, Mr. Washington. I don't want it done by Mr. Madison. I don't want it done by Mr. Lincoln, either of the Mr. Roosevelts. I don't want McKinley to do it. I don't want Coolidge to do it. I don't want Eisenhower to do it. I don't want Kennedy to do it. LBJ, Richard Nixon, too bad, too late. Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan. I don't want anybody snooping it because this is America, you see, and people's homes really are their castles. This was a novel attempt on the part of the framers and the founders of this nation, the men and the women who came across the hills and across the great rivers and the plains and the prairies and the mountains and made it all the way to the Pacific coast and. Yeah, okay, killed and carried on all the entire way. But did all of that because we believed we were supposedly creating this new order of the ages, just like it says on the dollar bill. Novus Ordo Seclorum. A new way of being. A new order of the ages. Where you bowed no knee to king or pope or prince, where your home was your own, and no one dared invade it at the very peril of their lives. So, the Fourth Amendment, frankly, means a lot more to me than it has meant to the Supreme Court of the United States or any number of judges. It apparently means a hell of a lot more to me than it is. Oh, come on, who are you trying to kid, Bob Kincaid? George W. Bush has never even so much as read the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. But never mind all of that. If you take as given the fact that I don't want any of that done by... I want my freedom. I'm real Patrick Henry about this. Give me liberty or give me death. You know, you had John Cornyn, the Texas senator, the other day standing up and saying, well, you're right, your Fourth Amendment, your civil rights don't matter much if you're dead. He said that. Your civil rights don't matter much if you're dead. You know, Senator Cornyn, what the hell ever happened to I would rather die on my feet than live on my knees? You know, I saw that on rusty old pickup trucks during the Clinton administration, and, you know, across from the other one that said, I love my country, but I fear my government. Whatever happened to that? So, you know, every time you hear one of these Bushevik, one of these Bushista apologists stand up and say, you know, whether it be on the House or whether it be on the floor of the Senate or, you know, God knows on Fox, all these freaks. We got a war on terror and this is a necessary tool to protect Americans. Every time you hear that and you hear the abject, almost childlike faith that these morons exhibit in George W. Bush. Or God knows, if you run across one of them that wants to actually defend this garbage to your face, look at him and say, cool. Because when Hillary's president, we're going to watch all of you. We're going to know every step you take. We're going to know every breath you take. We're going to know when you go to the bathroom. We're going to know when you're on the phone. We're going to know when you go to www.spankmehard.com. We're going to spy on you in your churches. Oh, yeah. We're going to know every political dirty trick you plan. We're going to have you pinned like a butterfly in a bug collection. And see if maybe that lights them up a little bit. Because that's, I don't want a president to have that kind of power. But they are so scared. Republicans are such pitiful, pathetic cowards that they will give up my liberty for their security. Whatever happened to all that garbage they talk during the conventions and the stuff that goes into their platform about the rugged individualism of the American spirit? Whatever happened to that? I'll tell you what happened to it. It never existed. It's a myth. Because there is no rugged individualism in any Republican. They've got to have corporate welfare. They've got to have their tax cuts. They've got to have Mexicans and Costa Ricans and El Salvadorans to cut their grass and trim their flowers and scrub their floors. There's no individualism in the Republican Party. They live in terror of you and me and everything that isn't as lily white as what they think they are. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Okay, we got a few minutes left in tonight's program. Let's go, let's go straight to the phones. Ben is with us. Hey, Ben, you're head on. Thanks for joining us.
Hey there, Bob.
How you doing?
Sorry for the crackly line here. I don't know what's happened. Apparently, Ted Stevens threw a hissy fit here on the floor of the Senate and said goodbye to the body.
Oh, really? You know, he swore he would. Well, wait, he didn't. No, he pulled this stunt earlier. He said if he didn't get his $50 million for the bridge to nowhere, he'd quit.
Well, apparently he said, I say goodbye to the Senate tonight. And that was after a bitterly angry speech on the Anwar vote. And people are speculating that he is resigning.
Oh, that would be so nice. That would be wonderful. I hate that old freak.
Well, let's see how it eventuates. I think we're seeing the wheels falling off the Republican Party.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And well, you know, the other side of me, I'm a cynic, Ben. I'm a cynic, and you know, I'm just expecting the Oral Roberts treatment. If you don't give me my Anwar, God's going to call me home. Isn't that the next step?
Or the 500-foot Jesus or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Anyhow, sir, you take care.
All right, thanks, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that's amazing. Newsflash, update. Ted Stevens throws hissy. Okay, I know what I'm watching when the show's over for tonight. But he did, yeah, he did the $50 million bridge to nowhere. If I don't get my money for my bridge to nowhere, I'm a-quitting. And look, Ted Stevens quitting is fine by me. He's president pro tem of the Senate. He's in the line of succession for, and, you know, let's go ahead and be a little bit optimistic. He's in the line of succession for when we get rid of Bush and Cheney, and that leaves Denny Hastert and the president pro tem of the Senate, if I've got all my ducks in a row. Although, you know, who do you put in as president pro tem? Oh, I have a feeling we're going to have some fun audio tomorrow night. Goodbye, Ted. I hardly knew ye. Ted Stevens is gone. He is with us no more. Oh, not a bad old rhyme. A couple of odds and ends before we go. Your law and order president. This from the Rocky Mountain News. A Denver lawyer was pardoned Tuesday by President Bush for drug-related crimes she committed more than two decades ago. Wendy St. Charles, now 49, was among 11 people who received presidential pardons. It's Christmas. It was 1984 when she was sentenced to 4 years in prison in, well, doggone it, Ben, you hung up too quick, in Illinois for conspiracy to conduct a narcotics enterprise and distribution of cocaine. She was also put on 4 years of special parole and 4 years of probation, which were to run consecutively with her sentence. Now, far be it from me to sound as though I resent any manifestation of mercy. I don't. But I saw this, and, you know, we know how Dear Leader was. 1984? That was still in his coke binge days, wasn't it? St. Charles declined to discuss her case further and requested that her privacy be respected. Here's the best part. Currently, she is a licensed attorney who works for MDC Holdings, Inc., the largest Denver-based home building firm and one of the top 10 home builders in the U.S. Now, wait a minute. It's connect the dots time. It's time to connect the dots, absolutely. MDC Holdings, who lived, he said, scratching his little head, who lived in Denver for a long, long time and was involved in the, well, you know, the loan-making business? Huh. How about that? Because that was Neil Bush. You know, Neil, who got caught in his divorce proceedings and was forced to admit that, you know, he was going out on his marriage and getting it on and caught a social disease from a Thai sex worker. The White House gave no details Tuesday of why St. Charles was granted the pardon now.
Well, I'm just probably I'm just being paranoid. St. Charles obtained her license to practice law in the state in 2001 and joined the law firm of Brownstein, Hyatt, and Farber in August of that year. Okie dokie. Anybody want to do some research? Anybody want to find out what kind of work Brownstein, Farber, and Hyatt, or Brownstein, Hyatt, and Farber does? Anybody want to connect the dots to the Republican donors? There's a movie coming out. It's a remake of the classic American novel of politics and intrigue, All the King's Men. Written by Robert Penn Warren, this one is starring Sean Penn. James Carville had something to do with the production of it, being as how he's a Louisiana boy. But in that book, the main character, Jack, is sent on a mission to dig dirt on a very upright and decent and moral man. And he looks at his boss, the governor, and he says, "Boss, what if there ain't nothing on him?" And Willie, the boss, replies, "There is always something. From the stink of the deity to the stench of the grave, man is conceived in sin and liveth and dieth in corruption. From there is always something." Be interesting to have somebody dig up the something on, what's her name, Buffy St. Marie? Wendy St. Charles. Jesus, that sounds like one of those radio names. "Hi, I'm Bill St. Charles, and it's your afternoon drive time home. Ah, something stinks here." All right. That's it for tonight. Thanks for joining in. Enjoyed your participation. And enjoyed the time, the precious time that you spend with us. The show tonight was produced, as every night, by my lovely and talented wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. The setup was engineered by Randy Kerbway. Our dear friend Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages the stream and archives this and many other wonderful liberal talk programs. And he does it all by donor, by listener and user and donor support. Remember that, especially this Christmas. The show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.